All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16. I want to read a familiar story, and I want to preach a familiar message. I want to read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and I want to preach on hell tonight. I have not preached on hell as a whole subject for a long time, and all afternoon I have just been burdened for this passage of Scripture and to preach this message, so I'm going to do it. Let's just have a camp meeting tonight. Want to just have a camp meeting tonight? That'd be all right. We'll just have camp meeting tonight, all right? Just old-time hellfire and brimstone preaching, okay? Let's do it. Look at verse 19. Luke 16, and we look at verse 19. And the Bible here says, there was a certain rich man. And can I just stop right there and tell you, there really was. Yep. All right, there really was. There was a certain rich man. What we're about to read really happened. You say, well, how do you know it happened? Because Jesus said so. That's how I know. If Jesus said it happened, that's good enough for me. All right, so verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now you will notice the rich man is not named, but the beggar is named. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Can you imagine being so emaciated, so weak, that you could not even shoo away the dogs from coming and licking your sores? Can you imagine? Well, that's how this man was. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, I can't help but stop here and say to you to notice that we are told in this 22nd verse that the rich man died and he had a funeral. He died and he was buried. But it looks like that Lazarus had no funeral. He died, and that was it. You say, well, what did they do to him? Well, they probably just took him down and threw him over the hill somewhere. Probably. You say, well, that's awful. Yep, that is. But he was a beggar. No, nobody cared. In verse 23, it says, the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. They have the word of God, in other words. Verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And by the way, that proved to be true. Because you remember that the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Not this Lazarus, but his friend Lazarus. He raised another Lazarus from the dead, Mary and Martha's brother. And then when Lazarus gave testimony that it was Jesus that raised him, they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him. All right, so the Lord knew what he was talking about, didn't he? All right, let's pray together, and then I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of hell and its purpose. Let's pray. Father, we ask now for you to bless tonight. I pray you'll speak to our hearts for the next 40 minutes. I pray that we'll be attentive, that not one person will let their mind drift or think about tomorrow. But Father, we will concentrate and focus. Our eternity could hinge on what we do with the next few minutes. And so, Father, I pray that you will help each and every one of us tonight to give our undivided attention to what thus saith the Lord. Speak to hearts, Father, we pray. Fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, when our Lord was here, one of the most often discussed subjects that he dealt with was the subject of heaven and hell. You find it all through the Gospels. He was often talking about hell. There are 200, think about this, there are 260 references to hell in your Bible. That's a lot. That's a lot. If there was one, that would be enough. But there's 260 references to hell in your Bible. For almost every verse there is in the Bible on about the subject of heaven, there are 10 verses in the Bible on the subject of hell. Amen. Think of that. It almost sounds like God is warning us about that awful place. But you know, modern scholarship says there is no hell. I have had preachers argue with me on the subject of hell. I have had funeral services back through the years, and some modernist preacher come up. Some denominational preacher come up to me afterwards and say, you really believe in hell? Yeah, don't you? I mean, the Bible talks about hell. Why don't you believe the Bible? But they don't. Modern scholarship says there is no such thing as hell. Well, I just happen to believe that God is right, and Romans chapter 3 says, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to believe God. And not what modern scholarship tells me. Can I remind you that modern scholarship did not believe that the flood Noah said was coming was actually going to come? But it did. And can I remind you that the modern scholars in Sodom and Gomorrah did not believe Lot and did not believe that Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed by God with fire from heaven? But it was destroyed with fire from heaven. And in both these instances, modern scholarship was destroyed along with the rest of the unbelieving crowd. Now, don't misunderstand me, folks. I'm all for education. I think you ought to get as much education as you can afford and you can stand. When I was a senior in college, they called me in and said, "We want you to stay for grad school. You ought to stay." And I said, no, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And they said, "But you need your master's." And I said, "No, I need freedom is what I need." And I left and went back and got my master's 12 years after I graduated. And then I got my doctorate after 5 years after the master's. And I have spent half my life in school. So I'm for education. I mean, good grief, I spent 17 years looking for that X in math class. And it's not there, folks. That's a lie. That's a hoax. I just want all you all to know that. All you students up there, there is no, when they say find the, there is no X. That's a lie. It's a trick. I spent all those years looking for it, and then I had children, and they brought a math book home one day, and Josh said, "Dad, can you help me with algebra?" And he laid it down, and I said, "What are you trying to do?" And he said, "Find that X." I said, "Karen, they still hadn't found it." And that's true. And they're still looking for it today. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe in education. I read extensively. You folks know that. I'm all for education. But if you have 1,000 degrees after your name and yet deny the Bible doctrine of hell, you are an educated fool, in my opinion. The Bible is true. Let God be true. And the Bible says that there is a literal place called hell, and you don't want to go there. Now, I believe that if the Lord Jesus were here today and preaching across America, he would often preach on the subject that I am preaching on this evening. The Bible says in Romans 3:18, in describing the unsaved man, and Paul said that of that unsaved man that there is no fear of God before their eyes. And folks, that is exactly where we are in our world today. People need to hear today that God is God, and that sin is sin, and that hell is hot and heaven is sweet, and that people need to fear the God that gave them life and realize that that God could at any minute take them from this earth and cast their soul into this everlasting place called hell. And men need to fear God. But our world doesn't today. So let me preach on the subject tonight, and maybe it'll just stir something in your heart. From this text, there are just a couple of things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice from this text that hell is a place for sinners. It is a place for sinners. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you get that?" Well, the rich man was an unsaved sinner. He was an unsaved sinner. I want you to notice from this text, folks, there is not anything mentioned. Jesus does not tell us one thing about this rich man that would be evidence that this man was a sinner. You say, "Well, then, Pastor, how do you know that he was a sinner?" Because all men are sinners. That's how I know. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm telling you that this rich man, not only was he a sinner, he was an unsaved sinner. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that he was unsaved? I know that because when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. Only unsaved sinners go to hell. You say, well, Pastor, where do saved sinners go? Thank God we go to heaven. But don't misunderstand. There's only one kind of people on this planet, and that's sinners. There are two kinds of sinners. There are saved sinners, and there are unsaved sinners. Saved sinners go to heaven. Unsaved sinners go to hell. It's just that simple. Now, some folks will say, oh, but Pastor, he was a rich man. That's why he went to hell. No, no, no. Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of you is rich. Oh, yeah. How many of you drove here tonight in a car? You're rich. How many of you have a house and you have a roof over your head? You're rich. How many of you ate at least twice today? Raise your hand. Huh? At least twice. Come on, be honest. You had something for breakfast. You had lunch. Come on. How many of you ate three times? Be honest. Raise your hand. All right, there we go. You're rich. You are rich. How many of you have at least a couple of dollars in your pocket or in your pocketbook? Raise your hand. All right, there's who you robbed tonight. Yes, we're rich, folks. There is nothing wrong with being rich. You say, well, I thought the Bible said it was wrong to be rich. No, what is wrong about riches is loving riches. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not having money is the root of all evil. And by the way, if you don't want your money, give it to me. I'll take it. I won't reject it. All right, so there's nothing, there's no indictment against this man. You say, but Pastor, he went to hell. Yes, because he wasn't saved. Some folks think that verse 20 and 21 is an indictment against him because Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores and the rich man gave him the crumbs off his table. That's not an indictment against him. That is a good thing that the rich man, he didn't have to do that. For you see, in Bible times, having a gate, that was your status symbol. That was your status. That was your image that you projected to the community. The more elaborate your gate, the more money you had, and everybody knew it. And for him to allow this beggar to lay just at the end of his gate and then take crumbs out to him to feed him, listen, that's not an indictment against the man. That's a commendation against the rich man. So this rich man, in all probability, was a good guy. I mean, in all probability, he was a nice guy. In all probability, he was a moral guy. It doesn't say that he was a drunkard or he was a blasphemer, he was a thief, or he was a immoral in any way. You say, well, then, Pastor, why did he go to hell? The same reason anybody goes to hell, because he refused the grace of God and never trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You have your Bible with you, right? Just go over to the next book. To the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And look at verse 18. John 3 and verse 18. Let me show you what Jesus said. In verse 18, Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Well, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, right here, Jesus very clearly tells us that the only thing you have to do to be a first-class candidate for hell is to simply go on your way without accepting Jesus Christ for your salvation. You just go ahead and be religious. You just go ahead and be moral. You just go ahead and be a good person. You just go ahead and pay your taxes. You just go ahead and be kind to your fellow man. You go and do all the things you want to do. Go ahead. You're a first-class candidate to spend eternity in hell. You say, well, I just can't believe that. I know it's shocking, isn't it? But it's what the Bible says. In verse 36 of that third chapter, look at it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, according to that verse, a person who is unsaved will not be condemned to hell when he dies. He is already condemned to hell. Already. Because he has not received Christ as his Savior. You remember that great sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached up in New England back in the 1700s when he preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And when he preached that sermon, it probably took him an hour and a half to preach that sermon. And they did not believe in any emotionalism whatsoever. When Edwards preached that sermon, it was written out in manuscript form just as you read it when you were in school. And he stood in the pulpit with a droll face, did not move, did not lift his arms, did not gesture, and simply read the manuscript, and it took him an hour and a half to read that sermon. But as he went through that sermon, the power of the Holy Spirit fell. And people were holding on to the pillars that were holding up the church building for fear that the floor was going to open up and they were going to descend into the pits of hell. And here's what he said in that sermon. He said, God is under no obligation to keep a sinner out of hell for even 1 second. You see, you're not going to be condemned if you're not saved. You're condemned already. You're condemned already. And if you're here tonight and you're unsaved, let me tell you something, my friend. Every breath you take is by the grace of God. Every time your heart beats, you're getting one step closer to spending eternity in hell. It doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how moral you are. It is a matter of the heart. And if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. I tell you what, if I was unsaved here tonight, I'd get up right now and run to this altar and say, somebody show me how to get saved. God says an unsaved person is condemned already. You can be a good person. You can be a good father. You can be a good mother, a good citizen. You could never curse, never lie, never steal. You may be like the rich man and even help others. But in God's eyes, if you're unsaved, you are as a condemned criminal awaiting execution. Hell is a place for sinners. Number two, hell is a place of suffering. Notice in verse 23 and in verse 24 and in verse 28, all three times I'm tormented. Tormented. All three times. He said, I'm tormented. Being in torments, I am tormented in this flame, lest thou come to this awful place of torment. Can you imagine what an awful place hell must be? You see, modern scholars have told us, there's no such place as hell. So we just jump on that and say, oh, okay, good. Don't have to worry about that one. Let me tell you something, folks. It's an awful place. You don't want to go there. You better think about it. It's a place of suffering. It is a place of eternal suffering, eternal punishment. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, Jesus said that hell is a place of everlasting fire. In Matthew 25:46, Jesus said it is a place of everlasting punishment. In Revelation 14:11, John said that he saw the smoke from hell, that the smoke of their torment as it ascended up forever and ever. There was no rest day or night. Folks, why in the world would you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you reject God's grace and bypass heaven and take your chances on a place that is as awful as the Bible describes this place called hell? All of eternity, if you're lost, you will spend in that awful place. It is a place of eternal punishment. It is a place of thirst. This rich man no doubt had plenty of water and plenty of wines when he was on the earth. But in hell, he only asked for one little drop. Just one little drop. Folks, he's not asking for much, is he? You say, well, why did he ask for for such a small amount? It's like a kid who says, can I have a cookie? You say, no, that'll mess your dinner up. That'll ruin your dinner. Well, can I have a half a cookie? No, you can't have a half. Well, can I have just a quarter of a cookie? No, you can't have a quarter. Well, Mom, can I just have one little crumb? You see, that's what he's asking for. He knows he can't have any. He is so thirsty. No doubt he would have given anything to have just any kind of water he could get. And so he asked for only a drop. And, you know, here's the sad thing. It's 2,000 years later, and I'll guarantee you that rich man is still in hell crying for a drop of water that he is never going to get. Oh, my friend, think about that. Put yourself there, thirsting, tormented by the fire. You say, preacher, that's not fair. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. But if you don't get saved, my friend, you're going to end up there one of these days, thirsting and begging for a drink. Don't let the devil drag your soul there. Come to Jesus while you can. Number three, hell is a place of sorrow. Look at verse 24. It says, and he cried. When you're crying, you're sorrowful. It's a place of sorrow. In Matthew 13, verse 42, Jesus said, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wouldn't it be awful to go to a place where people are screaming and wailing to the top of their lungs forever and ever? Wouldn't that be awful? I mean, you got to hear that for all eternity. It's a place of sorrow. Why is it going to be a place of sorrow? Well, look at verse 25. It's going to be a place of sorrow because of remembrance, memory. Memory. Oh my. Jesus said, Abraham said, remember. You remember all the goodness that you had when you were here. I mean, you know, maybe that rich man, I don't know, but maybe that rich man heard the Lord Jesus preach one day. It's possible. I mean, we read all the time in the Bible, it says, and a multitude came. Maybe that rich man was in one of the multitudes. And he heard the Lord Jesus preach a sermon one time, but yet he rejected the grace of God. Maybe that rich man saw Jesus perform one of his miracles. I mean, wouldn't that be a terrible thing to have to remember for all eternity that you stood and watched the Son of God heal people, and yet you turned and walked away from him and didn't let him heal your soul? Wouldn't that be awful? Think of that man standing in hell who sat there through gospel sermon after gospel sermon and yet rejected Christ. Think about that. You remember every single time, just as I am, without one plea was sung. Every single time that almost persuaded the harvest is past, almost persuaded doom comes at last, and you'll sit in hell and remember all those times where in the church, the open door, they sung those songs as invitation hymns. I'm convinced that every gospel tract that was torn up and thrown away will be remembered. Every message will be remembered. Every illustration will be remembered. Every outline will be remembered. Every invitation that you spurned and rejected will be remembered. Oh, my friend, trust the Lord now. Trust Jesus now. Hell is real and it's hot and it's forever, and you only have one hope of not going there, and that one hope is by trusting Christ as your Savior. But then it's a place of sorrow because Jesus is not there. He's not there. You say, well, where is he? Well, if you keep reading through your Bible, you're going to find out he's in heaven. He's sitting at the throne of God. He's not there. In verse 26, Abraham said, there's a great gulf here. You can't come to where we are, and we can't go to where you are, thank the Lord. Who would want to go there anyway? But boy, those in hell sure would want to come where Abraham was. And Jesus said, no, you can't do that. You see, folks, think about this. If hell had no fire, which it does have fire, but if it had no fire, if it had no darkness, which it does have darkness, but if it didn't have any darkness and no fire, but yet Jesus was not there, it would still be hell. Just think of the separation from the good things of life. Just think about that. I copied this poem years ago. I want to read it to you. It's called The Horrors of Hell. It goes like this. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music, or song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love, nor peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon nor grace. No water, dear God, what a horrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. No moments of ease, there's no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair, here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in his word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. The blasphemer, the swearer, the hater of God, Christ rejecter while here on earth trod, the murderer, the gambler, the drunkard, the liar, will all have their place in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, the mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yea, more than humans on earth can tell are torments and woes of an eternal hell. My friends, listen, you'll never see flowers in hell, never. Never. You'll never hear the laughter of a child in hell. You'll never hear it. You'll never see a smile in hell. No smiling. You'll never see the light in hell. Separation from loved ones, that saved godly mother, that godly father, you will never see them again. Imagine the sorrow of hell. I repeat the cry of Jonah. And I repeat the cry of John the Baptist. And I repeat the cry of Jesus. And I repeat the cry of Paul. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Now listen, folks, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, oh, I've heard all this stuff before, and I'm still here. Yeah, and that's called grace. That's called grace. But you know, grace wears out. It's going to wear out one of these days. You've heard all the messages, and you've heard all the invitation hymns, and you're still not convinced to be saved. Let me tell you what you're doing. If you're saying, well, I've heard all that, but I'm not going to get saved, here's what you're doing. You're adding to your torment. You're just adding to it. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know what that means? That means that God is going to look you square in the eyeball and say, wait a minute, weren't you at Church of the Open Door on Sunday night? February the, what is it, 25th? What is today? 25th? Weren't you in church on that Sunday? Wasn't that cake night? Amen. Oh yeah, he knows. Didn't you have such and such a kind of cake? Yep. Or didn't you hear Pastor's message? Well, yeah, I heard it, but you know, when I went to the other church, they said there wasn't no such thing as hell. So I thought he was nuts. I thought he was crazy. Well, I turned him off as soon as he said he was preaching on hell. I didn't want to listen to that. And what you did was, you just turned up the temperature a little bit. You just nuked it. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. If you're not saved, your sentence just increased. That's what he's saying. Your hell just got hotter. Your torment just got increased. Your condemnation just got a little more difficult to bear. But here's the good news, folks. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to. You see, there's a Bible that tells us about hell, but there's also, in that same Bible, tells us about a Savior. And that Savior died for you. Imagine if you just trust him, he will save your soul right here tonight. If you just trust him, it's that simple and it's that easy. And you know, there are some folks that stumble over how easy it is. They say, oh, it just can't be that easy to get saved. Yes, it can be. Yes, it can be. It is that easy. You see, all the work has already been done. Jesus did all the work for you when he went to the cross. He's the one that paid the penalty. He's the one that paid the price. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, my dear friend, listen, you need the Lord tonight. Don't walk out of here unsaved. Don't do it.